Has anyone got a roast in the oven? No? Good, because it might get burnt, because I don't know how long we're going to be here this morning. Just remember, when you leave, that your kids are still here. Don't go home and then go, where are the kids? Oh, left them at church. Well, I'm going to invite Daniel up now to speak this morning, and we just really want to thank and honour these guys. That just an incredible weekend of ministry and blessing, and I just love their heart. And you know, just to have them here as a family, it's just been incredible. And I really want to encourage you as we talk more about Awaken Australia to really get behind that. And I just think what an incredible opportunity to be part of what will probably be the biggest gathering since Billy Graham. So let's give Daniel an incredibly warm, blessed Marutna welcome as he comes.
Praise God, and let's stay standing and let's just give Jesus another big shout out too. We love you, Jesus. Bless you, God. Bless you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Praise you, Jesus. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. Amen. Grab your seats. Again, the band, mind-blowing and heart-blowing. It was awesome. Really cool. Let's give these guys another round of applause too. So good. Thanks for having us. The hospitality has been off the charts. We really, really appreciate it. And we mentioned last night that Shelton and I both said, and Bolu and our kids actually, they go, can we stay for another week? They love it. So thank you so much. It feels like family, and that's how Christian community should be. So yay, Jesus. Thanks for you. Something very special is happening in this house. In this community, so I want to encourage you, keep going, keep pursuing what God's doing in this house. It's very, very special. Chelsea and I have the great privilege of going and ministering all over the place, in overseas, in various places, and we know when God's up to something, and we really, really feel strongly that God's up to something good, fresh, new in this house, and so I'd encourage you to get around it and be a part of it. Amen? All right. I said to Pastor Matt last night, any areas that you want me to cover? What would you like me to kind of speak on? I had a few things ready to go, but I always like to maybe try and flow with what's already happening. And I loved Pastor Matt's response. He's like, we just love revival. We want revival. And I'm like, awesome, me too. So I'm really grateful for this conference. Thank you so much for inviting us and thinking of us. I love the creative flow that's been happening. And I love that it's a creative conference, but it's also a conference about revival, and it's bringing the arts and revival together, which is what really it should be. Amen? Like the arts and the Holy Spirit and revival and souls being saved and discipleship, everything, it's all God's heart. It all should be amalgamated together. We need to embrace it all. And so I just feel like I've had a taste of all of those things over the last 3 days, which is just brilliant. So I say, yay, Jesus. Thank you so much. So great work. Well, I feel like I want to highlight a couple of things. One of my favorite scriptures, I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. And one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, it says, don't be hearers of the Word only, but be doers of the word. Actually, it says, don't be hearers of the word only, deceiving yourself, but be doers of the word. Okay, so there is the possibility that you can come along to a great church like this, sit in your chair, hear the word, but yet do nothing with it. And the Bible describes that as deception. So it's possible for you to be in the best church in this region, and yet still personally you be deceived because you're not seeing that word activated in your life. Okay, so that's a challenge, isn't it, for us? And the Bible challenges us. Jesus challenges us. But what I've been seeing over the last 3 days is not only hungry people hearing and excitement in a building for a conference, but I've seen people stepping through the fear factor. And I've been hearing just things and testimonies already. And it's really powerful. So I wanted to highlight something that I thought was, there's many things that have happened over the last few days, but I want to highlight something. And so Sandy, let's give Sandy a round of applause just because she's an awesome person. And this flows with the arts as well. How many people, who was here for the conference? But just give us a wave if you were here. You would have saw the beautiful, the prophetic art that was happening here. And it's not just painting. And it's not just music. And it's not just lyrics and words. It's all supernatural. God's on it. And he speaks through art. And so here's this brilliant painting happening here. And one of them, they're all brilliant, but one in particular stood out to Sandy. And it was a flame. And I love the flame. I love the fire of God. John the Baptist said that he baptizes in water, and he spoke about someone that would come after him that would baptize in the Holy Spirit and fire. How many people know that was Jesus? That's happened now. And God poured out his Spirit and fulfillment of prophecy, the upper room, the beginning of the fulfillment. It's not complete yet until we're all in heaven and everything's finished. God's still pouring out his Spirit today. But this flame, for me, represents that Holy Spirit fire. And as someone that loves revival and loves outreach and loves ministry and witnessing, I love that scripture, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be a witness. Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the earth. Someone told me, and I still need to do a little bit more research, but someone told me that Australia, in terms of geographically in its location to Jerusalem, where that word was spoken, is the uttermost parts of the earth. Australia and New Zealand, maybe someone that's good with geography might be able to help me, but I hear that it's the furthest part away with New Zealand. So Australia and New Zealand, the outermost parts of the earth, and quite possibly, practically, that's why we've been marked, and many prophetic words have been spoken over New Zealand and Australia as the last end time move of God, because we're the furthest parts away and now it's going back to Jerusalem. It starts to make a little sense. So anyway, this fire, this flame here is prophetically speaking to Sandy. She loves it. And that was actually the very thing that stirred her heart to say, I want to step through a fear factor. You had fear about going on the outreach yesterday. There was a fear. How many people feel fear? Put your hand up if you feel fear. Do you know the most courageous people in all the world still feel fear? Ask anyone. Because fear is an external force that tries to impose upon every single person. But the difference between someone that is fearful and someone that is bold is their choice to submit to that fear or not. Will we submit to an external force that comes against us? Sometimes it's just through the way we think, but sometimes it literally can be an external force. The Bible says that we haven't been given a spirit of fear. That tells me that fear is also a spiritual thing. Not from God, not a God spirit, but from the enemy, the god of this world, the devil. It's a force that tries to put us back in our box, to put us in a snare, to put us in a trap. And so I was talking to Sandy a little earlier, and she said, I felt that fear, but it was the flame in God speaking through the prophetic art that stirred faith in her, enough faith to say, I'm not going to submit to fear. And I'm going to follow my leading, the leading of the Holy Spirit, to step out and not just hear what's being taught in the conference, but actually go out and be a witness, which was really powerful. So I say, yes, let's celebrate that. Let's give Jesus some praise for someone that stepped through the fear factor. Chels preached a message on breaking the fear of man. We don't want to fear people's opinions. We don't want to fear anything in this world. We want to be ourselves. We want, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. And that's who we are as sons and daughters. We're righteous. You might not realize it, but the truth is you are. You're righteous because of the blood of Jesus. And so therefore you can boldly proclaim and believe and live out that you are bold. So that's who you are. And so Sandy steps out on the outreach. And from what I understand, you stopped three people that got physically healed. They had back conditions and various ailments. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We saw a whole bunch of healings last night, some quite extraordinary ones actually, which were really amazing. And I love it when it happens in the church. I love it everywhere. But I also love it when it happens outside the church with people that don't understand anything about it and it freaks them out big time. It's awesome. And so praying for the sick, they get healed. And then she runs into someone else. This is the part that was touching my heart. And I wanted to share this. And Pastor Melissa, you were praying about the prodigals. And I just sensed your heart. And I looked around the room. There's a whole bunch of people crying. And it's like, you guys really love people. That's so cool. And it's the prayer of compassion that changes things. The Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion. He got away from the crowds to get up to the mountain with the Father because he wanted the Father's heart for the people. Revival starts with understanding God's heart for the people. And then from that place of intimacy, we're moved with compassion. From that place of intimacy, perfect love casts out fear. The fire of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a baptism of love, a perfect love. It's a baptism of power, miracle-working power. It's all fused together. That's revival. That's good stuff. When you say to the person next to you, that's good stuff. I like that. So let's get back to this amazing testimony. So Sandy steps out. People are getting healed on the streets. You step through this fear factor. Prophetic art has been used as a key to stir faith, which is awesome. Art's being weaved into this now. And then she meets another lady with the same name. Sandra. And by the way, Sandra's here today. And I haven't told her I'm going to do this. I hope it's all right. But I had a good chat with her last night, so I think she'll be okay with it. And this is the prodigal part. She's been out of church for quite some time. And she told me last night, in fact, she's from Papua New Guinea, and she's been just a little bit lost, and she's moved away, just kind of searching and just needing some sort of answer in her life. She's moved away from Papua New Guinea, been away for at least 3 months. 2 months. And here she is on the streets, and she said her mum has been praying for her in Papua New Guinea. We were talking about the power of prayer last night, and that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. So in Papua New Guinea right now, and for quite some time, your mum's been praying for you. Sandy steps through her fear factor, not knowing any of this is happening. This is the synchronicity of heaven. Prophetic art is being used to inspire, to encourage faith. Steps out onto the streets, goes out to be a witness. That's what we're all called to do. And by the way, Sandy, your role in the church is in hospitality during this conference. Is that right? So, not ordained as an evangelist, but in the church role, she's in hospitality in the church. But that doesn't stop her from going out onto the streets, demonstrating the supernatural power of God and reaching out to a beautiful lady named Sandra who's searching. And in Papua New Guinea, her mum is fervently praying for her. And then last night, she comes forward. And the three of us have the beautiful privilege of leading her back to Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Come on, Jesus. Let's give her a hug. We're going to give her a hug. And it's all because God loves people. He loves people so much. My goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Something just popped into my heart and I didn't have it prepared, so I'm just going to quickly look for it. Jesus. Just in your own words right now, just begin to thank God for what he's doing. He's so good. Thank you, Jesus. And while you're doing that, let's go to Acts chapter 6. I know how you feel, Sandra, because that's what happened to me too. My mum was praying for me too 15 years ago. Something just like this happened. So that painting meant a lot to Sandy, and then she came back to buy it, and someone, an anonymous generous person, bought it, but then gave it to her as well. So what a beautiful memory. So thank you to whoever that beautiful generous person was. All right, Acts chapter 6. I love this. Let's go from verse 1. Who loves the Bible in here? The Bible's good stuff. You should read it all the time. It's amazing. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Sometimes in church life, we can have disagreements, and there can be just because, especially when things are growing, there can be growing pains, and we've got to have, that's why we have leadership and we have people that serve and help in different departments, just so that we can help deal with things as things grow. And so this is what was happening here in the early church. Verse 2, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." So in other words, the 12 apostles, those in that were called to serve and study the word of God and pray and help plant churches, etc., senior leaders, their role primarily is not to be running around trying to do everything. Their role primarily is to be laboring in the word, studying the word, and close with God, spending time in prayer with him and bringing heaven, really bringing heaven and creating that heavenly atmosphere so that people can encounter God just like they have been over this conference. And so they need to delegate. There needs to be delegation. If we're going to see strong community, there needs to be delegation. How many people believe that? Yeah. If we're going to grow, we need all hands on deck. We need everyone being involved. And so the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." So this particular dispute or complaint that was developing was around the hospitality ministry. And this story just... you being involved in hospitality has just sparked this reminder of this story. So, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Every area of the church is very important to God. And they took time to appoint people that were full of wisdom, integrity, and full of the Holy Spirit to do the work here of serving tables and in the hospitality ministry, which is really important. I love that. Everything to God, every detail is important to God and in his house and in his church. Verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So the apostles, their job was to continue to give themselves continually to prayer and the word and be able to teach and preach in these corporate gatherings just like today. So let's keep reading. Verse 5, and the saying pleased the multitude, and they chose Stephen. Everyone say Stephen. Stephen. He's the particular guy I want to highlight. There's seven they chose, but I want to highlight Stephen. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, I hope I'm saying these right, God, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. Everyone say, multiplied greatly. That's revival. That's revival. That's one of the definitions of revival, is when we see increased rapidly or multiplied greatly. The word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. When you see obedience to the faith, that's a sign of revival. When you see holiness, righteousness, that's a sign of revival. When you see things put correctly in order, correct delegation, when you see the ministers being able to freely labor in prayer and in word, that's a sign of revival. When you see disciples increasing greatly, that's a sign of revival. But that's all important stuff. But this next part reminded me of this story with Sandy. So verse 8, and Stephen, so he's one of the seven that they chose. Now, his job wasn't necessarily to teach and preach from behind the pulpit. His job was to help in the marketplace. He'd go out to the market, help get the food from the marketplace, come back and help with the distribution of the food, the hospitality of the food for the widows. His job was not to teach and preach from behind the pulpit. I said yesterday that this is a highly esteemed role. I love it. And I'm really grateful to God. I don't put this down, but at the same time, I also know that it's only a small percentage of the week what happens in this space. I honor it. The Sunday gathering, this is the Lord's Day. The weekly gathering, this is what they did in the early church. They came together on a weekly basis. You know, we have our small groups and different things that happen during the week, but we come together on a weekly basis. But this is like the coach's address. But what happens out there, outside the four walls, that's really the majority, because we are the church. So when we're out there, we're still the church. We're not just the church when we come here. We're the church everywhere we go. Amen? And I note here that Stephen understood that. I note here that Sandy understood that. Verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, and say, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. He did it in the marketplace. Great signs and wonders among the people. Healing the sick among the people. Being used by God for divine appointments to answer the cries of a praying mum in another nation called Papua New Guinea. Yeah. The synchronicity of heaven, being used of God for the synchronicity of heaven. Not coincidences, the synchronicity of heaven. God setting this up, because we step into the supernatural. We step into revival. And it really is simple. It's simple love, simple gospel. We love God and we love people. Amen? It's not that hard. Love is not that hard. Love is the language that crosses over all borders, that breaks through walls, that touches beautiful people at the back, like that gentleman that I met earlier in the foyer, who also happened to run into, from what I understand, some of our crew on the streets yesterday. God bless you, man. I thank you so much for being here. God loves you. Love crosses through things, breaks down walls, breaks down barriers. Amen? That's revival. So Stephen understood this, full of faith, full of power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And I'm not going to go on to the next part. It's a little bit scary. You can read that in your own time, but he got persecuted and stoned. But, you know, it's interesting that actually sparked something in Paul, who witnessed that, who wrote a whole bunch of the New Testament. So praise God, that didn't happen to you yesterday. Right. Glory to God. That sounds good. So why am I sharing that? Well, a few reasons. Because, I mean, the heart of awakening is that we would help stir up things. It's not, we don't want an event. I mean, we do want an event, but we don't just want it to be an event. It's a tool from God. The role of the evangelist is not only to reach the lost, but it's there to equip the saints. You read that in Ephesians 4:11, to equip the saints. Who are the saints? We're all the saints. All of us. We've all got a role to play in the body of Christ, and we can all reach someone. You've got people in your life that I can't reach. You've got a story that will connect to someone, that's relevant to someone. You've got a testimony. You don't have to be scholarly, be studied. You don't have to have all the answers. If you do have lots of answers, that's awesome, and education's amazing, but don't wait until you've got that. What's in you is so powerful. Love is so powerful. Someone out there needs you to step through your fear factor. Sandy stepped through her fear factor and look what happened. Can you imagine if all of us on a daily basis begin to step through our fear factor, begin to reach out and just show someone love? How many people know that we're going to see a great increase and disciples multiply on a great, great level? How many people believe that's possible? If everyone is active in this thing called Christianity, we're going to see some amazing things. Amen? Why don't you say to the person next to you, we're going to see some amazing things in our nation. So I'm going to finish with this because I know some of you got some beautiful roasts possibly in the oven, and we want to pray for some people as well. And I like that they're asking where the roasts are. We're all like, yeah, where are the roasts? We know where to go for lunch. Everyone, get their hands there. We don't have enough. No. God will multiply it. Have faith. All right, Jesus. Okay, so I want to leave you with a couple of things. And I want to rewind a little bit from the signs, the wonders, the stepping through the faith, because that's the fruit of love. Okay, it's the fruit of love. It's the overflow of love. But I want to leave you with maybe the most important thing of all. Okay. So let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 12. How many people know that Jesus is... like, if you want to look like anybody, if you want a role model in your life, then Jesus is the perfect role model, yeah? If you want to understand Christianity, read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but if you want the most clear picture of the Father and the heart of the Father, if you want to see the best representation of the Father without kind of any mess or mistakes, if you want to see the perfect representation, look to Jesus. Unfortunately, the church, it's the body of Jesus, but at the moment, while we're in this earthly state, we have our flesh to contend with, etc., we're imperfect. Yeah, we're destined to be conformed into his image, but many people know we still make mistakes. So don't look to the church in terms of the perfect representation. We're trying to represent the Father, but don't look to the church as the perfect representation of the Father. We're going to make mistakes. So be gentle with each other. Be gentle with the church. Love the church. Amen. But Jesus, you can look to him. He is the absolute perfect representation of God the Father. The Bible says that. So when I study his life, especially around the subject of prayer, I think this is really important. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Keep that in mind. Now this is something that is mentioned on numerous occasions in the New Testament. He'd get away from the multitudes, the busyness of revival and ministry, the busyness of life, the busyness, maybe your business is booming, is taking off, the favor of God's on you. It's quite easy to be caught up in even good things and leave intimacy. You're doing good things for God, but you leave love, you leave intimacy, you leave that heart-to-heart connection. But we see Jesus as God, he's fully God, fully man, he still understood the importance of getting away from the stuff and getting with the Father in prayer, in intimacy. And I believe that's why he was moved with compassion the way he was, because he was constantly, his ear was on the heartbeat of the Father. And he said, I only do what I see the Father doing, because he understood he's a son, he's loved, and he's hearing constantly, God, what do I do? I love you. And he's moved out of that place of love. That's real revival. And if you'll stay in that place, I believe that's how we'll have consistent revival, be able to steward revival. We don't just want an outpouring that fizzles away, that breaks marriages, breaks family, and we're all just running crazy. We want something that is protected by love. Amen? Protected by love. We know who we are. We're sons, we're daughters. And I believe that's how we're going to sustain revival as well. We stay in that place of love. So Jesus understood the heart of the Father. And then I want to leave you with this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, 37, and 38. These three verses pretty much in a powerful way sum up what we've been talking about over the last few days. And it says this, So Matthew 9:36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Everyone say compassion. Sandy was moved with compassion. It's compassion's the most powerful driving force. You don't want to be legalistic about things. You don't want to like, you should be doing that. If you don't, what's wrong with you? That's not a great place. Like, people might do things for a while if you're like that. But if you can get people inspired, if you can get people just obsessed with love, like possessed with the love of God, they're just going to do things because they can't help it. Amen? And a perfect love casts out fear. It's going to break fear. And so I believe that Jesus was moved. He was inspired because he was a son and he understood who the Father was. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And then check this next part out. I love this. He said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful and the laborers are few. Many of us have heard that scripture and we quote that. But the context here is Jesus is looking at all the people that are scattered. He sees a problem. He doesn't get down about the problem. He sees people scattered as a harvest. He knows that we have the solution. He knows that we have the kingdom of God within us. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we can see the mess of Australia. We can see the fact that we're losing in terms of the statistics. We've got some areas of Christianity that are bucking against the trend, but altogether we're losing in terms of morality, the plebiscite of late. We lost that. We should not lose things like that if we're a Christian nation. And we can get down on it and think that we're losing the battle and think that there's no hope. Or we can think like Jesus and see all these people scattered and think, that's the harvest. That's the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Okay, the laborers are few. So what do we need to do? Pray. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out more laborers into his harvest. How do we do that? We pray. And then we have to be doers of the word. Like I said earlier, we can't just be hearers, doers. God, every one of us is a laborer. Why don't you say to the person next to you, you're a laborer. And it's a labor of love. And you don't have to try and win the whole world if you'll just love the one in front of you. You don't have to have the pressure or the burden. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. You don't have the burden of the whole nation. We're all working together. And if we'll just love the one in front of us, we can change the world for Jesus, man. We can see this nation one. If every Christian just begin to love the one in front of them and we're involved in this harvest, like Chelsea said yesterday, when it's harvest time, all the farmers know this, it's not, yay, it's harvest time, let's put our feet up and just enjoy the harvest. No, that means it's the busiest season. We roll our sleeves up, it's all hands on deck, because we're motivated by love and we want to see the Father, we want to see Jesus get his full reward. Amen? And just because we love people. And I believe that somewhat helps define revival. It must be from a place of love. It must be because we're moved with compassion. I heard those prayers. That's the prayer of someone that is moved with compassion. That's the prayer that catches the attention of heaven. His eyes go to and fro throughout the earth, looking for hearts that are perfect towards him. That's the attention. You've caught the attention of heaven. Amen? So let's keep doing that and let's see this whole region set ablaze for Jesus. Amen? Well, praise God. I'd love to pray for some people this morning. If you don't know Jesus, you've been hearing me talk about Jesus this morning. If you don't know him, maybe you're not walking right with God and you want to recommit your life to Jesus, I'd invite you to come forward this morning. I'd love to pray for you. We've been seeing a lot of healing. If you've still got sickness in your body and you want prayer for anything, I just love to pray for anybody this morning, for anything at all. If you just want a fresh touch from God, please come forward. Maybe let the ministry team know if you want to rededicate your life. You've been inspired by Sandra, and maybe you also want to get your life right with Jesus. Then I'd love to pray for you this morning. And once again, thanks so much for having me and Chelsea and our family. And it's been a great time. Thanks, Ben and Danny as well. It's been good hanging out with you guys. And go Ballarat. I know it's cold, but go Ballarat. So God bless you guys. Awesome.